Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Get out your Bibles with me and turn to Jeremiah chapter 35 this morning. This is Father's Day, and we'd like to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house this morning. Special day, and I know I have a homemade cherry pie waiting for me later today and some other things. I'm just going to be spoiled, and it's going to be a good day. Hope the rest of you have something happening. You know, as we look at Jeremiah 35 this morning, the title of my message is Building a Lasting Legacy. Building a Lasting Legacy. You know, a legacy is a word we are familiar with. It can be about leaving money or business or maybe land, whether it's in the form of a ranch or a farm and et cetera throughout for the next generations. But it can also be about a way of life. A way of life that you want to pass down to the next generation. And when we talk about building a lasting legacy, we can talk about that because a lot of times, you know, the thief can break in and steal that which you leave in land and money. But there's some things that the thief can't get a hold of if you build it properly. And that's what it's talking about this morning, or what I'm talking about. It's about the positive impact you leave behind for your family and those in your circle. It's more than just material possessions or accomplishments. It's about values, memories, and lessons you impart to others that continue to shape the future of their lives as long after you are gone. Now listen, you don't have to be a man to establish a legacy. Amen? Legacies are what we can establish in the way we want to impact the future generation. And so this is what I want to look at this morning about this. As you turn to Jeremiah 35, we look at an example of building a lasting legacy. Something that's going to last beyond you, beyond your time. Something that can be passed down from generation to generation. Let's look at 35, starting in verses 5. It says, "Then I set before the sons of the house of Rechabites, bowls full of wine and cups. And I said to them, 'Drink wine.' But they said, 'We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, "You shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he has charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyard, field, or seed, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us." Let's pray. Lord, today we thank you once again for your presence, God, in this house, this place, this morning. Lord, we're praying, God, on this Father's Day, Lord, as this word comes forth, that it will challenge our hearts. God, not to only the fathers in this room, but future fathers, but also, God, to those that are watching online today. Lord, we're praying for your presence, God, to be in the midst of us, God, in the preaching of it, in Jesus' name. As we look at this passage this morning, I just got three things I want to share. And then I'm going to let you out to get the food first. Everybody said amen, right? But yet, you know, it may not happen. But one of the first things I want us to look at this morning is an amazing legacy. And an amazing legacy. You know, a legacy that has lasted from generation to generation. Can I tell you something this morning? That's pretty impressive. When it's passed down from one generation to another generation to another generation. A lasting legacy, an amazing legacy, if you ask me this morning. when you look at Jonadab, the son of Rechab, he was a descendant of Moses, Moses' father-in-law. He was of that tribe that Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, was of. And so we know that there was a great start into this legacy when he was attached to Jethro. And this legacy that I'm speaking of in this passage of Scripture has literally went on for 200 to 250 years, some say even 300 years, that this has went on with this family, with this clan. When it says the house in that passage of Scripture, is talking about a clan of people that lived together. So for right at 250, 300 years, this legacy that it was established by Jonadab has passed down from one generation to another generation to another generation. It is an amazing thing to see such things happen in families. A legacy that can outlive, listen, material things will fade away and riches will fade away, but what we do in the spirit and what we do spiritual in our life has the potential of being from one generation to another generation to another generation, my friend. You may not establish the wealthiest a legacy for them to have. It's not bad to pass money along. I like money passed along, right? Y'all like that. But let me tell you, there's something that will outlast money, and that's having a legacy that's spiritual in somebody's life. I love it. I've heard pastors stand up and say, I'm a third generation pastor. And some may just, oh, well, whatever, you know. But that is saying something about somebody back in the past that established something in somebody's heart, in something in somebody's life that would be passed down, not one generation, but two and three generations down the line, that they have this legacy. An amazing legacy. Did you know there are families that can say that they have been Christian families at multiple generations that have passed down from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next? There are some that have been Christian families for over 200 years. I'm telling you, when you want to talk about amazing legacy, gentlemen and ladies today, is that it's an amazing thing that you've done if you've passed down such a legacy that your family can say, my great-great, great-granddad and grandma were Christians, and my great-great-grandparents were, and my great-grandparents, and our grandparents, and my mom and dad. I'm going to tell you, it's an amazing legacy to pass down, such a legacy into generations. Why? Because it is something that has the potential to continue till Jesus comes back. That's an amazing thing, to have such a legacy as Jonadab had passed down to his children. Dads, what do you want to pass down to your families from generation to generation? How about the legacy of Jonadab? That of serving God. Can I tell you this morning, lasting legacies are derived from a heart of strong convictions. Lasting legacies are derived from a heart of strong convictions. If you want a legacy to last, it's got to come from deep down inside. It's got to be something that you're not going to be movable on. It's something that is deep down. It's weaved inside of. When we read about Jonadab, that's quite the name, isn't it? Jonadab. I wanted to say Jonadab. It would fit better with my message. But it's Jonadab. I was wanting to, you know, when you look at Jonadab, he was having a conversation with Jehu. Remember him? God called him to go and put punishment up on Judah and Israel, Ahab. Well, he rides along. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 10, just to give you a little history on Jonadab. He says, now when he departed from there, he met Jonadab. He is Jehu. He met Jonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he greeted him and said, is your heart right as my heart is towards your heart? And Jonadab answered, It is. Jehu said, if it is, give me your hand. So he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him in the chariot. And then he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. And so they had him ride in the chariot, talking about Jonadab riding with Jehu, who was going to display the righteousness of God. Remember that he rode up and he addressed Jezebel, and he had people throw her out the window. Jehu was all about righteousness. Is your heart as my heart, is what he asked Jonadab. What's he saying? Do you have zeal for God? So if you want to know where this legacy started with Jonadab, it was the fact that he had a zeal for God and a zeal for God's righteousness, and it was so much in his soul that it just burned and it said, yes, I'm with you on this thing. This is the man that started the legacy that we're talking about this morning from generation to generation. He was a man that had a zeal for God and God's righteousness. He was one that started this lasting legacy as a rebuke to Judah. Let me say it. He started this as a rebuke to Judah because Judah was living in such an immoral lifestyle at that moment that Jonadab says, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm going to live in the country. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to stain myself with the immorality that's going on in Judah at that moment. So he chose to live so totally separate from them. And this thing had lasted. See, true legacies are from the heart that has strong conviction. When we have a strong conviction about something, we will spend time teaching our children about it. We'll spend time pouring into them. We'll spend time sharing with them about Christ. If we have a strong conviction about things of God, we're going to spend time. I'm going to tell you, I meet a lot of people, and you can tell what they have a strong conviction over because it's going to be the majority of their conversation. And we have a strong conviction in our heart about something and about the future generation, we will spend time teaching. We will spend time bringing them to places that they can be changed by the Word of God. We'll be spending times explaining to them. Can I tell you something this morning? It's one thing to tell your kid to do something, but it's another thing to explain why they need to do this. Come on, how many of you grew up with this because I told you? And you go, I don't understand it. I guess I don't do it because somebody, because they told me not to. You know, when you start to explain things to your children, all of a sudden they get to understand why you don't do that. And when you have a strong conviction about something in your life, you're going to spend time teaching it. You're going to spend time explaining it. Why? Because you're wanting to pass something down to the next generation so that they understand why they come to church. They understand why they tithe. They understand why they serve God. They understand the things of God because you have a strong conviction, but also you're enlightening them to why you do that. You know, you're going to spend time leading your kids. Come on, I don't want to be rude this morning. But gentlemen, if you're going to say you're a Christian, you need to at least show your children you're a Christian. Amen? In our lifestyles, the things that we do, we should at least lead in such a way that they see God. They should say, hey, Dad's about, he's about serving God. You know, I remember a little bit about the Waltons and her husband, John. I mean, she's got enough religion for all of us. Listen, that's not how we do it in church. Amen? I got an amen over here. Amen over there. Amen. It's leading our children. And if we have that strong conviction, because I guarantee if you have a strong conviction about something, your life is going to be about that. Not only our kids, but our grandkids and our great-grandkids, we're going to give them direction every moment you have with them. You're going to teach them a Bible verse. You're going to say something about the Lord. You know, this is not a new concept. Let me tell you, this is not a new concept I'm saying this morning, because God had that same concept when he said in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7, he says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and then you when you lie down, and when you rise up. God had the same thought, that when we get the conviction in our heart, we're going to teach our children about those things. What an important thing to understand. See, so what we have a strong conviction about, we will pass it on. And the kids will know what's inside here. Example this morning. I am completely convinced there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen? You know, we can say things like that, but when my kids are bent to the wrong way, am I fasting? Am I praying? Do I believe? You know, Job, we're studying Job in the Sunday school class right now, and when his kids would go out and they'd party, whatever they would do, he would give them a sacrifice for them, and he would pray unto God just in case they sin. Why is that? He had a conviction of what it was to be righteous before God. I'm saying today, gentlemen, is that when our kids are wayward, we need to take that step, and we need to pray, and we need to believe, because I truly believe, Johnny, that there is a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun, and both of them are eternal. Come on, we've watered things down in the church. We don't preach about heaven much, and we don't preach about hell. We probably preach a little more about heaven, because literally you can get a lot of people shouting, amen, hallelujah. But you preach about hell a little bit, and you get all these different opinions. I don't believe in hell. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter what you believe. It is real. Hell is real. And so I'm convicted over that. I've got a conviction in my heart of understanding. I don't want my children. My dad used to say, well, I'll go to hell for you. I didn't want my dad to go to hell for me. If it meant for me to go to heaven is what he would say. I'm just saying today, why can't we all go to heaven? Amen? Why can't we all just spend eternity in heaven together? Wouldn't that be great? And so when you have that, another thing about the legacy, a legacy that was simple yet powerful. A legacy that was simple but yet powerful. Live in a way that would not hinder their worship. Live in a way that would not hinder their worship. 35, verse 6. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, nor your son forever. The Spirit-filled Life Study Bible says this. All of these things, when you read verse 7, it says, you shall not build a house, nor seed, plant, vineyard, nor have any of these things, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. The Spirit-filled Bible says this. All of these were to them symbols of agricultural and urban culture, which endangered the purity of worship, their worship unto the Lord. Having these things in their life, having a house and different things, it was meant for them to be separated from the world. They were meant to be separated from corrupt religious people. Have you noticed today we have some corrupt religious people in America today? I'm going to tell you, we have some corrupt religious churches today in America. We have a lot of churches today that are not teaching the Bible. They don't preach Jesus. It's all about us. All these things that he gave them was for them to live a separate life from outside the world, and also the corrupt religion that was going on in Judah at that time, and even in Israel with Ahab, and all that was happening there, is to keep them outside that community of corruption. And not only that, but it was also to keep them outside of the ways of the world. The ways of the world. You know, we are told in Romans chapter 16, 17, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. What is that? Separating yourself from corrupt religious people. Avoid them. We have that same thought here today. the world. Talks about 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. We have the same thing given to us, is we need to teach to come out from the world. I know we have to live in the world. There's things that we enjoy in the material things, but we can't be attached to that system and the way the world functions. Isn't it messed up today? The way the world is. Jonadab says, I want you to stay out from that community. Remember I said earlier, it was a rebuke toward Judah because they were corrupt inside the community of Jerusalem and the whole country. God was bringing judgment. He says, I want my family to come outside of that. We're going to live outside of this community so that we will not have our worship hindered unto God. That it won't be hindered. He told them that to refrain from alcohol. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of talk about alcohol in the church today. I get it. But you know how much alcohol we let his family drink? Zero. None. Can I tell you this morning, many have messed up while under the influence of alcohol. Their lives has been ruined. Forever, their family has been ruined. Alcohol is something that will give you, I mean, it can mess you up if you're not careful. They were taught not to drink any at all. I've had that debate. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I don't care whether or not the wine that Jesus turned, or water, was turned into wine. I don't care if it was alcohol or not. I am not going to drink it. Because I've seen what alcohol can do to a family. I've seen how alcohol can ruin a family, how it can take a God-fearing dad and turn him into something different. I've witnessed what alcohol can do. And this man, Jonadab, passes down a legacy and helps his family understand, don't mess with it at all. Don't even sip it. Don't even sample it. Why? Because he knew what was happening inside of Judah and the influence of alcohol that was happening up on the priest and all of those that were in that community, how alcohol was causing them to do awful sins at that time. Alcohol. I believe it was David Wilkerson wrote the book Sipping Saints. How long has it been around? How long has it been an issue in the church? Quite some time. Because if y'all know David Wilkerson, he's dead and gone. And he wouldn't mess around with it. Alcohol's not a good thing. Anything that alters your mind is not good. Anything that would cause you to do something different than you would normally is not a good thing. He was teaching them to live a nomad lifestyle. Now, that is just speaking of, it's a member of a people having no permanent abode who travel from place to place to find fresh pastures for their livestock. They would live in tents, no farming, and etc. No roots were planted down. He was teaching in them of the fact that they were not to establish in a community, but they were more or less just pilgrims passing through. Now, have you ever heard that in Scripture? Pilgrims passing through. He was teaching them not to get tied into all these material things, not to get tied into that corrupt religion. He was teaching them to be outside. And he says, we are travelers. We are sojourners. This is how we're going to serve our God. You know, Hebrews 13:14 says this, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. I tell you this morning, I love it when I read in Hebrews where it says, hey, they all considered themselves as pilgrims passing through. I love a lot of stuff that we have, but I'm looking forward to heaven. Amen? I'm looking forward to the trumpet sounding. I'm looking forward for God calling us home. And basically, what their lifestyle was, the legacy that was passed down. Listen, there's nothing wrong with a new truck. There's nothing wrong with a new home. There's nothing wrong with fine clothing. There's nothing wrong with these things. There's nothing wrong with having a wallet full of cash, if you even know what cash is today. There's nothing wrong with having an app that has a lot of money to it, I guess tied to it. There's nothing wrong with those things. This is not what Jonadab was trying to teach his children. He was teaching them not to be attached to any of those things, but because they belong to God. I know the Word of God says we are citizens. We are citizens of heaven. I thank God for the United States of America, but we got a better place that's coming. And I think, gentlemen, we need to teach our kids. It's all right to have these things, but they cannot mess with our worship. They cannot mess with our relationship with God, because the most important thing in our life is God. The most important thing in life is our relationship with God. Everything I have, Johnny, someone else will spend it one day if I go before the rapture. And I can try to put my little thing, you can't have this. It doesn't matter. I have no say-so when I'm gone. But the whole key is, I don't want any of that stuff to go with me. May it bless somebody behind me. But I'm going to say today what we need to teach our children is that there's a day coming much better than what we have in this world today. And we need to prepare for that. Yes, it's good to be blessed. Amen. Aren't you glad to be blessed? But it's also good to realize that we can let everybody have it all, because God is the true place to go. Heaven is what we're aimed at. Heaven bound is what we are. And this is what they were. They weren't attached to anything other than worshiping God. Amen. They didn't starve. They had everything they needed, but yet it all was in the right order of life. It would surprise you this morning how many people are not in church today, how many so-called Christians, because whatever they have in their life is more important to them than a relationship with God. That can't be. Guys, our football teams can't be that way. You know, if you're a Bronco fan like me, you know not to expect a whole lot. Right? Now, you Dallas fans, y'all having a hard time with that. But just accept it. You're losers. I mean, that's just the way it is. But I'm just saying today that you have to figure that out. I should know more about the Bible than the Broncos, right? My kids should know I know more about the Bible than my football team. And they should have their teams in the right order when it comes in the relationship. This is all he was teaching them, to live separate, to live a life unto God. Enjoy what God gives you, but also never let it get in the way of worshiping our King and our Lord. And that's where it's got to be. Because it's that type of legacy. See, our legacy does not have to be complicated. It just needs to be lived out and taught and explained and passed on. I'm hoping my kids will say, well, my dad served God. That is the most important thing that I would want in my life, is for them to say, yes, he served the Lord. They can add on that he wasn't perfect at it, but he served God. And that's the truth of it. A legacy doesn't have to be complicated. This wasn't a complicated legacy. It says just stay separate. Don't let anything interfere with your worship unto the Lord. And the last part about a legacy here, a legacy that would reap rewards. It would reap rewards. It would bring something into their lives. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2 says this, while here on earth, and you can add another one, if you'll honor your father and mother, you shall have a long life on this earth. You can add scriptures into this. But it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's that word say? Blessed is the man. When you honor God, and who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, keeps himself separate, means that they will enjoy a blessed life, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Who is that? That's a man that's living separate. That's a family that's living separated. They shall enjoy the blessings of the Lord. We're now on earth, right now, in this place we live. We can enjoy those blessings that God comes. Not only that, it's one that would last forever. a legacy that would keep on going. Can I tell you this morning is that there's a lot of legacies that have been passed down from one generation to the next that never made it past that next generation. I've even seen it in my own family. My dad built up a legacy to pass down, yet it never made it through my generation to the next generations. My grandkids will never have a part of that legacy. And why is that? It's a material thing. And you never know what's going to affect material things. But a legacy that's passed down, a spiritual legacy, one that teaches our children to stay out of the world and to live right for God, is something when you get it from your heart to theirs, as Christ lives in their heart, it can be something that passes down from one generation to the next generation, to the third generation. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about this church. Started in 1953. There's been a lot of people come and go in this congregation. And many of them are in heaven now. Even the founder of this church, Brother Burkhalter, is in heaven now. But I think, and he's thrilled that we're still open this morning. Amen? We're still open. We forgot to put the sign out, or we'd have more people, I imagine. I don't know. But anyhow, he's probably still thrilled that this is going on. I'm telling you, that's the key to continue to have it to go. This church does not need to fold or quit until Jesus calls us home. Amen. And we need to understand that we need to pass down this legacy from one generation to another. From one older generation to the younger generation until it just keeps on flowing. Amen. And this is what we find. But there are legacies that will last forever. The Rechabites. In Jeremiah 35, 18 and 19, it says, Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all he commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever." He'll never lack a man to stand before me forever. What is that speaking? That's speaking of a legacy that will last forever and ever. What a legacy to leave. What a legacy to leave your children. One that will last forever. What a legacy to leave your grandchildren. One that will last forever. And to their children, they will leave the same legacy. Wouldn't it be great you get to heaven and you get to see your great, 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 great. Pat knows how many greats there are. He studies that stuff. But wouldn't it be great you get up there, "Oh, I'm your..." How many greats? You say, "Well, that's too many greats." It doesn't matter. We got time for all of them in heaven. But wouldn't it be great we get up there and we meet our grandparents from way back there. And then if the Lord tarries, we get to meet all the great-grandchildren that come after that. Why? Because of a lasting legacy. Something's going to last. Where do we want our families to spend eternity is the question. Where do we want them to spend it? Let me tell you this morning as I conclude. There have been many that built empires to see the next generation just blow it, never bring it on to the next generation. I've seen it over and over again where generations don't pass things down. They don't know how to handle it. But there have also been many that have passed down the gospel of Jesus Christ to the next generation. Some have followed and some have not. Come on up, Ned. Some have followed and some have not. Here's the key, is that we find it's a whole lot like sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm told to share the gospel. It's my responsibility to save that person. But we could pass a legacy down, but it's also our children's choice to receive it or not receive it. Doesn't mean I got to get discouraged. If I got one that's wayward, we gotta pray. Gotta pray, we gotta believe. We gotta believe God's gonna touch their lives and their life's gonna be changed. I think it's important. One of the greatest things that men and moms can do, or fathers and moms can do, is pray for those kids to get on the right track. Why? Because we have convictions in our heart that are true to God's word. And we gotta pray. We gotta believe it. But I ask you this morning, sometimes there are legacies that are passed down from one generation, from one father to another, and some of those legacies are, we're all drinkers in our home. Well, this is how we live our life. This is who we are. But can I tell you something? We sang about it this morning. God's a chain breaker. And your legacy may not have been like passed down from here to here, but somewhere in there, you make your mind up, I'm going to leave my children a different legacy than what my parents left me. See, we're not stuck with that legacy. I believe with all my heart, God can break any curse that's on our family. He can break any chain, and He can change the difference or the change of that legacy. And I thank God for that. I don't have to go down the road my dad went down. I don't have to go down that road, because I have made my mind up. My legacy is to pass something on to my children. And it can happen at any moment in your life. It can happen at that moment when you say, I'm changing the way our family is going to pass things down. The thing is, you got to have strong convictions in your heart. Now, you can't make anybody serve God. I wished we could, well, I don't know if I fix that. I wish we could make people do things, but that wouldn't be good. But I wished, you just can't make a kid serve the Lord. Because as soon as, I don't know if you've noticed, when they get about 18 or so, they can do what they want. Don't get upset. They're just doing, you don't have to accept it, but you can pray for them, right? But I'm just saying today that we should have that moment in our life that we have such strong convictions that we make our mind up from this moment on. Some of you have got young kids. How many got young kids in the house this morning? I'm going to tell you, you have an awesome responsibility today. Amen? I look at my granddaughters, and I think, man, I want them all to go to heaven. Amen? I want them all to go to heaven. I know they want all my money, which they're going to be disappointed. But I'm going to tell you, I can give them the best thing there is if they will just trust God with it. A legacy that will last forever is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I feel for y'all to have young folks. It's complicated. It's difficult. And the best thing about grandparents, you can send them back to the young people. But I'm just saying there's a responsibility there. I'll never forget the day that we brought Amanda home from the hospital. I was not saved. And I looked at her and I thought, I have a responsibility here. And I got saved not too long after that. And I realized I have to show them a lifestyle, leave them a legacy of Jesus that will last forever if they will receive it. And that's what counts, my friend. Because you can't buy your way into heaven. It's already been purchased if you'll receive it. Amen. Every head bowed just for a moment. I want to ask you this morning, gentlemen, what legacy are you leaving? What legacy have you decided to leave for your kids? Are you leaving a legacy that's going to last, one that's going to be one of those amazing legacies that goes down from one generation to the other? That's going to be one for eternity for your kids. Or do you need to work on that legacy right now where you're at and start working on the legacy of passing that down? Which one is it? If you say, Pastor, I'm going to work on it today. I'm going to do my best with it today. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm gonna start working on it. I'm going to start working on my kids, my grandkids. I'm gonna make it very important in my life. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, this doesn't have to be guys. Women, you are just as important. if not more. Amen? In all this. So how many would say, I'm just going to start working on that legacy that's going to last. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, today we thank you. Ah, hallelujah. Lord, we're thankful as we read about Jonadab, God, in a legacy that's lasted over 2 centuries, God, and possibly 3, Lord, that where he passed down to his children, Lord, to stay separate, God, for those immoral lifestyle of the what was going on with your people, God. And Lord, we're thankful for that example. And Lord, for everybody that raised their hand this morning, we pray, God, that you would give them strength, not only them, but myself also, God, today. Lord, to remember, God, that we are passing something down, Lord, that we want our children, God, when we're gone, if the Lord tarries, God, that they would still carry the torch of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that they would be soul winners, but also that they would be that you would anoint them, God, to pass the legacy down to their children. And so on, God, until you come, Lord, that we would find Christians in our family name, God, that are still serving you, God, and still giving all they have to you. Father, give us the strength to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I got to confess something to y'all. I thought I'd been letting y'all out early, and then I got told that clock is slow. So, but I want you each to have a great Father's Day, and hopefully you got something special. But can I tell you, let's build, gentlemen, let's build a lasting legacy, one that is rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, one that's rooted in the Bible, amen, that will last for eternity. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. God, we pray today that you would just put your hand upon each dad, God, father in this house today, and those that are watching online, God. Lord, may they just have a blessed day in you, Lord Jesus. Most of all, we thank you, our Heavenly Father, for being such a wonderful Father. Lord, we just praise you and say happy Father's Day to you also in Jesus' name. Amen.